All right, we're going to start at the top of Yud Daled Amud Aleph by the second line, Vayomer Minhi. The Gemara left off, and the question is on the line of the Gemara that says, "Midabek v'oseh roshok k'dei l'gul amud, u'besofo l'gdei l'hakif." At the beginning of the sefer, one has to put an additional klaf in order to go around the amud itself. At the end of the sefer, here's a Tanakh or a Torah, he has to have a blank piece of klaf that wraps around the entirety of the sefer. Now, by mini, tchilat sefer b'tzofo k'dei l'gul. That the beginning of the sefer and the end of the sefer enough to wrap around. Now, what does the Gemara says? K'dei l'gul mai. What does it mean to wrap around? K'dei l'gul amud. If it's enough to get around an amud, kasha hekif. Then the problem is with the end piece. I'll re-explain this in a second. K'dei l'gul hekif. If it's to wrap around the entire Torah, right? Kasha amud. Based on our brisa, the original brisa suggests that there are actually two sizes of klaf. There's one klaf that wraps around the amud, which would be a smaller, that's already in the internal, right, part of the Torah. That's when you first start rolling. And then you'll have another klaf at the end that has to go around the entirety of the circumference of the Torah, which indicate that they're different size klafs. Now, this next brisa suggests that they're the exact same size. The one at the beginning of the sefer, at the end of the sefer, are the same size. So Mara wants to know, k'dei l'gul, what is it wrapping around? If it's wrapping around the amud, why at the end of the sefer would it be sufficient to have a blank piece that goes around the amud? It won't get around the circumference of the whole Torah. Or the other way around, if at the it's talking about the end, where it means you must wrap it around the whole circumference, then in the beginning, by the amud, you have too much. You don't need that much. So how could it be? So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'tzadim k'tani. It's talking about the tzadim, meaning that the definition of the word l'gul would be different. Here, one lagul will mean around the amud, and one lagul will be the hakef around the entirety of the sefer. Ravashi Amar, which is the more interesting of the answers, because it has nafkumir the lachum. Ravashi Amar, kitanya ayi b'sefer Torah. That this is talking about a sefer Torah. Kitanya kolas varim niglalim mitchilatan l'sofan. All svarim are rolled from beginning to end. V'sefer Torah niglal le'emtziato. On the other hand, the sefer Torah is railed to the middle. And you have two amudim on the Sefer Torah. So as opposed to other sfarim, which will have a single amud, and the single amud will require different size klafim, at the one at the beginning, which will wrap around the amud, one at the end, that will go around the entire circumference. As opposed to that, the Sefer Torah will actually have two rolls. If it has two rolls, then you can have an equal size klaf on each end, because they both have to do the same thing, which is wrap around the, right, the amud. That's all they have to do. There's no klaf that you need to get around the entirety of the circumference of the Torah. The difference between the braita will be the second braita, the one we just brought the question from, is talking about a sefer Torah. Therefore, it requires the same size klaf. Both of them go around an amud, which is for a sefer Torah, because the sefer Torah has two amudim. And the first braita was talking about any other sefer in Tanakh, which has one amud. Since it has one amud, you need one klaf to go around the amud, and a second klaf, which will be bigger, to go around the hekef, to go around the entirety of the circumference of the item. All right. This is the way the people or the sofrim of Yerushalayim used to make their sifrehim. So that's, affirmation of what Rav Ashi is saying, that they used to do it this way. They had two amudim, and you have the blank areas to go around the amudim. So here the Gemara lays out that how do you size a Sefer Torah? The size of Sefer Torah, that the height of a page, right? If you took the height of any given klaf on the page of the Torah or the Amudim, and then you take that a string that was that height, and then you wrapped it around the Sefer Torah when it's finished, that circumference will equal the height of the Sefer Torah. So now, Shaluat Rebbe, Shir Sefer Torah Bekama. So he says, what is this Shir of Sefer Torah? Meaning, how high should the klaf be in order that you can get this to work? Where the height of each staff, well then, if you take the height, then you'll wrap that around the Torah, and that'll give you the circumference when it's all wound up or wrapped up. So he says,
the klaf itself.
So he says, Shalu Rebbe, Gvil Shisha. When it comes to Gvil, six Tvachim is the amount. So that means that the height of the page is six, the height of the whole page is six tvachim. Also, the circumference of a wrapped Sefer Torah will also be six tvachim. The klaf, kamo, how much is it by a klaf? Any yodea. Says, I don't know. Now, Tosfos here explains, but we had this in numerous places, what's the difference between a gvil, a klaf, and then the last thing is duchtustus, which is the different ways that one can process the hides or the skins in order to write on them. Now, a gvil is a or, that's what Tosfos says, is or shlonitkan klaf. It's a piece of skin or hide that is not worked on at all. Just all they did was take off the hair. They did nothing else besides remove the hair on top of it, and then they wrote on it. So it's a much thicker piece of cloth, I mean, thicker piece of skin, which they write on. What we write on today, right, is something where they take that same skin, and then they slice it in half. And when they slice it in half, means it was a thick piece of skin, and then through the middle of that skin, they slice it in half, so they cut the thickness in half. So now you have two pieces of skin from what was one thick piece of skin by, you know, cutting it along the, the plane of the skin. Now those two pieces, one is called the klaf, and one is called the duchtusus. The klaf, right, is the piece that was facing the outside, until this point of time was facing the outside, and the duchtusus is the piece that was facing the basar, the inner part of the behema, the beef of the behema. That's why Tosfos calls it duchtusus, kustus in Persian. It's in the Tosfos, duchtusus. Yeah, it's the best, because he says it's a Persian or Median word, which means sustus, means, you know, basar, flesh. So therefore, it's the piece that goes towards the flesh side. Now, for both of them, you write on the area where the cut was made. The slice between, that slice the plane, that's the area on which you write. So what we write on today, which is the klaf, right, is the outer piece, which is towards the se'ar, but we write on the inner piece, the inner side of that, not on the hair side of it, but on the inside where you sliced along the plane. That's what we write on. That's the klaf. And the reason is because of, right, tefillin and mezuzot must be written on klaf, and it cannot be written on duchtustus. But we use klaf for everything now today. I don't think we use the duchtustus anymore.
We just
cut the inside and slice it. They scrape away the inside, right? Right. So they don't keep the second piece, basically. They process it to the point. Right. So they basically come down, they create that slice of the plane by just wiping away all the inner piece there until they reach the point where it's a klaf. All right, so that's what Tosfos is talking about. That's the klaf that we use. So a klaf is going to be much thinner than the gvil that's being described here. So Rebbe gave a shear for gvil, which is it's got to be 6 tefachim high, so then it'll come out that the circumference is 6 tefachim. That's a thicker piece. They want to know when it's a klaf. Right, if it's a thinner piece, then when you wind it, when you wrap it up, it's going to give you a lower circumference. So if that's the case, how tall does it have to be in order to measure out that the circumference will equal the height of the sefer? So now we're going to see that Rav Huna, Kotav Shivin Sifrei Doraisa, he wrote 70 Sifrei Torah. Imagine that. V'lo Yitzram Aleihu El Echad. Only one worked out. Only one worked out. After writing 70 Sifrei Torah, one worked out that the height, right, was equal to the circumference after it was wrapped. He wrote one Sefer Torah on the hide of a young calf, and it worked out. After one time, beginner's luck, he got it. He got an Ayin Hara from the Rabbanan that he was able to succeed so quickly, and he passed away. He wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. So he says he wasn't willing to accept this. Right, because Amarlo Dilma Torah Tzivalana Moshe Katav says that it just seems impossible that a single individual could write 400 Sifrei Torah. It seems just to be way too much work and investment by one individual. So it says maybe he wrote the Pasuk Torah Tzivalana Moshe, and Rabbi Notam says over here that that's equivalent of Torah or Karui Torah, because we say that a person should open or speak to their child Malamdo Torah when he learns how to speak. And what does the Gemara say? What does that mean, Malamdo Torah? You teach him Torah Tzivalana Moshe. So now Amalei Rova the Rabbi Zera Nato Rabbi Yane Arba Mea Karme. Right, Rabbi Yannai planted 400 vineyards. So again, he thinks it's way too much, an exaggeration. Amar dimalei shtaim keneged shtaim, v'achad yotzei zanav, that he was talking about. It's talking about a halachic vineyard. Not that he planted an actual vineyard, but a halachic vineyard, which is, if you have two, then two, and then one extra one, a fifth one on the outside, right, that has a din of a halachic vineyard. In first instance, we had this in last week's parsha, for people who have to return from milchama, if they have a kerem, the nata, also for avodah to kerem, what's classified as a kerem. So all these issues that deal with the vineyard, this is a halachic vineyard, not that he's talking about a vast vineyard. But again, we've spoken in the past that the number 400 in general, used, whether it's used in the Torah, used in the Gemara, is a number of exaggeration. It's not usually a exactitude, meaning it doesn't mean that they did exactly 400, it just means that there were a large amounts. They wrote very many, or there were many, many of them. The Gemara is not usually after any saying that there were actually 400. Here you see the Gemara is taking it a little more literally, and the Amoraim are trying to explain it and use some sort of alternative explanation to make it plausible that they could write 400 or plant 400 of anything. All right, Meitave. Aron shasa Moshe, so the Aron that Moshe made, amatayim v'chetzi arko, is 2.5 amot long, v'am v'chetzi rachbo, 1.5 wide, v'am v'chetzi kamoto, 1.5 tall. Bama bat shisha tefachim. Over here we're talking about an ama that equals 6 tefach. So if you do that, 6 tefach, if you take that the length of the aron is 2.5, that means that they're 15 tefachim long. It's 1.5 wide, which means that they're 9 tefachim wide and 9 tefachim tall. Right? Valuchot. Now, the luchot that are placed in them, what's the structure of the luchot? Arkan shisha brachban shisha. They're 6 by 6. 6 long, 6 wide, and they're deep, shlosha, 3 tefachim deep. Munachot keneged arkos shel aron, and they're placed along the length of the aron. So if you take the two luchot, basically they laid the two luchot down into the aron. So if you lay the two luchot down in the aron, they're sitting inside the aron side by side, and they're 6 by 6. So now the Gemara is going to lay out, what does that mean when you have the two luchot sitting, right down, like placing a book down into the aron? How does that, how much room does that take up, and where does it leave afterwards? So Gemara says, "Kama luchot ochlot v'aron." How much do the luchot take up in the aron? 12 tefachim. 12 tefachim. I mean, if you've laid them down next to each other, flat on the surface of the aron, the inside of the aron, then if you all the way across, 6 plus 6 is 12. You have 15 tefachim along the length. So now there are 15 minus 12 is there are 3 tefachim left over. Shishar Rusham, shlosha tefachim. There's 3 left over. Same hand tefach. You have to take out a tefach of those 3 because chetzi lekotuzeh v'chetzi lekotuzeh for the walls of the aron. I mean that the thickness, the 2.5 is measured on the outside of the aron, not the internal part of the aron. So if you're looking at 2.5 amot, which is 15 tefachim on the outside, the internal space that's usable, right, is really only 14 out of the 15 tefachim, because the walls, the thickness of the walls, are half a tefach each. Nishtaru sham shnei tefachim. Then these are left over along the length, 2 tefachim, shein behein sefer Torah munach. And that placement is where the Torah was placed, shenemar. Because it says, im lachim aleph, when Shlomo puts the aron into Mikdash, im baron rak shnei luchot avanim. So there the word uses ein and rak. Hey, those are two miyutim. So ein baron rak shnei luchot avanim, asheniach shem Moshe. My ein baron rak, miyut achar miyut. Umar has a darsh drasha that anytime you have a miyut achar miyut, an exclusion after an exclusion, ein miyut achar miyut, the rabot comes to include something. What is it including? Sefer Torah shemunach ba'aron. That's a Sefer Torah that's placed in the Aron itself. So Gemara says, Pirnas da Aron l'arko. You explain the length of the Aron. Sefer Perneso to the Rechbo. Explain to me now how the width looks. So kama luchot ochlot ba'aron. How much do the luchot take up of the width of the Aron? Now remember, they are 6 by 6. So they're going to take up 6 tefachim against on the length, but also on the width side. So they're going to take up 6 tefachim. We said that the whole width is 9 tefachim. So shisha tefachim nishtaru sham shlosha tefachim. Again, there's 3 tefach left over. Same name tefach. Take out a tefach. Chetzi lekotuzeh v'chetzi lekotuzeh.
They don't one on top of the other.
No, they're side by side. They're laying side by side because that's how you get 12 tefachim along the length of the aron, right? They're laying like books, 2 books side by side. So then you get 12 along the length, and now on the width you're going to get 6 tefachim because they're lying side by side. Oh, so you have 3 tefachim.
Side by side, but on their edges.
No, flat like this. Flat.
Okay.
Here's one luach. Here's one luach. This is how they sat on the floor of their own.
Yeah,
right. This would be right now 6 and 6, which is 12, and this will be 6 because this is, you know, each one of them is 6. They're 6 wide, 6 long. Okay, and they're sitting inside their own, which is 15 by 9. Okay, so now nishtaru sham shlosha tefachim. The leaves over 3 tefachim. Same in tefach. If they got a tefach, chetzi lekoto zev, chetzi lekoto zev. Again, the walls, the thickness of walls take up a tefach. So now you're left over with 2 tefach. Nishtaru sham shnei tefachim, shalosh sefer Torah, nichnas v'yotzei kishu dachuk, divrei Rabbi Meir. In order that the sefer Torah should come out easily. Now we said before that the height of the sefer Torah is 6 tefachim. So now if I lay down a sefer Torah, right, next to the luchot, right now, I lay it down, it's the same height as the luchot here, because it's six. These are six tefachim each, this way, and six tefachim 12. I lay it, I sefer Torah down. I lay it to sefer Torah down, that's six tefachim long, its diameter is two. Right, it comes out that the diameter, because of the circumference, is six tefachim.
How many scrolls are there two?
No, it's one, on one amud, we're going to see in a second, it's only on one amud, and it's six tefachim high, which means, or and six tefachim behekif, we said the circumference is six tefachim. You take six tefachim in circumference, right, the loose, tomorrow we'll do this in a second, the loose pi is three, divide by three, so you get two tefach wide. So that two tefachim, we said before that there is six tefach for the two luchot laying next to each other, out of the 15, right, then there is three tefachim left over, one tefach we used up for the half tefach each side for the walls, now you have two tefach left over, that diameter of the Sefer Torah is sitting in that two tefachim, and now it's six tefachim high, which is the same height as the luchot. What's left over? There's left over two tefach, right, because we said this way it's nine, right, the width of the Aron is nine. The luchot take up six of it. The walls take up one. There was two tefach left over. So if the two tefach left over after the six tefachim of the luchot, so too the Sefer Torah is six tefach high. But now they have two tefachim left over, one on each side. Why do you have those two tefach left over? So you could reach in and take out the Sefer Torah. So that's what it means. It's lo b'dochak. It wouldn't be hard to reach in because you have a tefach on each end in which you could pull out the Sefer Torah.
Now, the diameter equation is
pi is 3, but they're using 3 as pi.
Equation? Diameter equals?
It's pi d.
Pi d.
It's, right, circumference.
Circumference.
Right, that's what we're looking at. Right, circumference is pi d, so if you want to get to diameter, then you just take circumference divided by pi, which to them is 3. So that's right. So you take 6, which we know is the hekif, and we divide it by 3, you get 2. Right, the Gemara is going to go through the calculation in a second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ba'amat bat chemishat tefachim. Yehuda disagrees and says all kelim in the Mishkan were actually five tefach and not six tefachim. So if you do this, now you have to go back and recalculate everything. Right? If you have two and a half and one and a half, when you have five tefachim, that means that two and a half turns out to be 12 and a half tefachim. Right, and then you have one and a half the other way, which will turn out to be seven and a half tefachim. Right, so one and a half times five, right, that's seven and a half. Two and a half times five is, right, 12 and a half tefachim. Now, aluchot arkan shisha, brachman shisha, ravyon shlusha. Whereas when it comes to kelim and other items, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we do six tefachim, but here the luchot are 6 by 6 by 3 in depth. So now menuchot v'rokoshel aron, and they're also laying down in the aron, the same way we did it before. If you lay down, but now of course for Rabbi Yehuda, they're going to take up much more of the inside of the aron because the aron isn't that much bigger. Kam menuchot ochlot v'aron, how much does the luchot take up in the aron? 12 tefachim. Now we just said before, how much is there in the aron? Only 12 and a half. So they're taking out 12 of the 12 and a half. Nishtar sham chatzi tefach. So now there's only one half a tefach left over. Etzba dekotel zeh ve'etzba dekotel zeh. Right, in chatzi tefach, there are four etzbaot in a tefach. So if you take half a tefach, you have two etzbaot left over. Those two etzbaot, there's one etzba is for the wall on one side, and one etzba is for the wall on the other side. And that's the entirety of the length of the aron. You're now taking up the length of the aron, the wall is half a tefach, and the luchot are 12. There's no space left along the length of the aron. Now coming to the width of it. Pinasta aron arko. You explain the length. Say upraneis la aron arachbo. Explain to me the width of the aron. Kamaluchot. Here it says ogdot, but it should be ochlot. Probably is the more better kiyusa. Aron shishat tefachim. They use up six tefachim. Nishtar sham tefach umechta. You have 1.5 left over. What do we say was the width of the aron? The width of the aron was 7.5. 1.5 times 5 is 7.5. The luchot take up 6 tefachim out of that 7.5. What do you have left over? You have 1.5 tefachim left over. Tzeman chatzi tefach. Take out of that a chatzi tefach for the walls. Right? Etzba. It's probably, the Girsha probably should read etzba lekotel zeh, etzba lekotel zeh, the way it did before, which is if you have four etzbaot in a tefach, then chatzi tefach is two etzbaot, then it'll be an etzba on each side, because the thickness of the wall should be consistent all the way around. And Rabbi Yehuda just said that the other, along the length-wise, the thickness of the wall was an etzba. Rashi, and it's also supposed to reconcile the Girsha, that if you do say etzba mechsa, etzba mechsa, it depends which fingers you use. If you use a thumb, there are four etzbaot to a tefach. if you use your index finger, or if you use your pointer finger, right, then or the middle finger, any of those will be five etzba'ot to a tefach. And if you use your pinky, it'll be six etzba'ot to a tefach. So all they do is leave the gears of etzba mechsa, they just say it's talking about a pinky, where there's six etzba'ot to a tefach. If that's the case, then half a tefach would be three etzba'ot, and an etzba and a half would be each wall. But they're coming out to the same measurement. The girsa without the mechsa makes more sense, because Rabbi Yehuda, we just saw the previous girsa, just used etzba and etzba, so it would make more sense that they're measuring with the same etzba'ot. Right now, nishtayr sham tefach. So now you have a leftover tefach in there. Shebo amudim umdim. So they placed in that tefach, that extra tefach, along the width of the aron. Right, it's basically a space of one tefach by, right, it's along the width, so you have one tefach by about 12 and a half, right, along that whole length there. In there they place the amudim. What are these amudim? Shenemar, a piryon asalo amelech Shlomo. So he made for himself a canopy, or yatzei alavano, made of wood, amudav asakesef. These pillars were made out of silver. Refidato, its base or its resting area, zahav, was made out of gold. Merkavto, argaman, and the curtain above it was made out of argaman. And ratzufa hava, the pasuk continues. So now, those amudim, what are these amudim? So as the Tosfos says, it's interesting. He says amudim, just look at the last Tosfos, it says, Nira l'Rabbeinu Tam, he says, the siman hamadat Yisrael haya. It's a sign for the, I don't know if you want to call it the strength of Klal Yisrael, or the ability of Klal Yisrael to survive over the long term, or the stature of Klal Yisrael, something to that effect, that these amudim represented it. And why did they make them out of silver and not out of gold? In order not to be, right, kategor la sanegor, right, that the prosecutor cannot become a defense agent. So Tosfos says, wait a minute, the whole aron is made out of gold. I mean, how could it be? Here, you have to put in these silver amudim, and then the aron is made out of gold. So he says there's a difference. He says, because when it comes to devarim that are mechaper, that are kapara, they can't be made out of gold. It's when kelim can be made out of gold, but the objects that are used for kapara can't be in gold, for instance. The Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim may not enter into the Kodesh HaKodeshim with the eight bigadim, only with the four bigadim, because he can't walk in with gold to the, right, Kodesh HaKodeshim, even though the Aron is made out of gold. So Tosfos suggests over here that these amudim were for kapara, right, because they are asuim l'siman hamadat Israel, for the standing stature or longevity of Klal Yisrael, and therefore they're for the kapara of Klal Yisrael, that they should, I guess on our behalf, represent the fact that we should remain steadfast. And therefore, since they're a kapara, they couldn't be made out of gold, they had to be made out of silver. So it's very interesting Tosfos. So those, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are placed inside the Aron. What's obviously missing is the Sefer Torah, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no room for inside of the Aron. So now, what do you do with that? So the Gemara says, "Vargaz sheshigru bo plishtim daron elokei Yisrael munach mitzido." Now the plishtim, when they had captured the Aron after the destruction of Shiloh, they held out onto the Aron, and it caused them a lot of problems. So in Shmuel Aleph, they finally decide that they got to send the Aron back to the Jews, because it's not doing them any good having it here, because it was wreaking havoc amongst them. So of course, where did they send it back to? They put it on a wagon, they hooked up some magalim, they hooked up some oxen to drive it, and they let it go by itself. And they headed off with the Aron. Inside the Aron, or along the Aron, they placed gifts to placate the god of this Aron, so that he wouldn't bother them anymore. And they sent it off, and of course, where did it end up? The Aron, right here in Beit Shemesh. That's right, it came to Beit Shemesh. And the people were all excited, they were makriv olot, and the guy was excited, but because they did not treat the Aron with the proper respect, right there, it suggested that 50,000 people died or passed away. It's clearly not clear if that's an exaggeration, because it says 70 and 50,000. Anyway, a lot of people died from this exposure. But that gift that was given along with the Aron was kept on their gaz. They put together some sort of casing that was appended to the Aron, and inside of it was the gift. So that was left there, some golden items that were placed in there. So now, Shnemar, Vetklea Zahava Sher Heshevotem, the golden vessels that they return with it, right, Asham Tasimu as a forgiveness, Tasimu Bargaz Mitzido, they'll place in this casing on the side of it, Shlach Moto, you'll send it, Valach, right, and that'll go back to the Jews. So this encasing that was on the side, in it were placed these golden vessels that they gave as a gift, and that remained with the Aron, Ve'alav Sefer Torah Munach. And on that argaz, on that appendage to the Aron, that is where the Sefer Torah was placed, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shnemar. Koach et Sefer Torah, Zev Samto Oto Mitzad Aron Brit Hashem. So he says, take the Sefer Torah, next place it. But Moshe says, the Sefer Torah I wrote, take it now from me, place it next to the Aron, right, which we have created. So Gemara says, Mitzad Haya Munach V'lo B'tocho, was placed on the side and not inside it. If that's the case, what do I do with the pasuk from Melachim by Shlomo that says Rak and Ein? So it says, "Mani mekayim Ein Baron Rak Rabot Shivrei Luchot Shemunachim Baron." That means it wasn't just the Luchot in there, but there were also the broken Luchot that were there. As Rashi points out, they were underneath. The broken Luchot sat underneath the second Luchot that sat on top that were laid out flat, right, laying down inside of the Aron.
Wait a minute. It seems that the
Pleshtim
created this
Aron. Oh, excellent. Very good. So Gemara will ask your question in a minute. Very good. Excellent question. Now the Gemara is going to deal with this. This is the calculation. If you think the circumference of a Sefer Torah is 6 tvachim, michte. Anything that has a circumference of 3 tefach has a diameter of 1 tefach. I mean, the relationship is, right, 1 to 3, I mean, 3 times. It's their loose definition of pi, right? The definition of circumference is pi d, diameter times pi, and here they're using 3 as representation of pi, even though it's really 3.1415, and so on and so forth. The Gemara in other places uses fractions, which come up a little closer to the real pi number. Tosfos comments here, the Gemara cross-references, right, if you look in the Masoras HaShatz, it cross-references Erevin and Sukkah, so the other two sugyot, where it deals with there, Tosfos in those places mentions that the Gemara seems to be off by a bit. Clearly over here, where they use 3, it's off, it's a rounding. It's clearly rounding by Yam Shel Shlomo, right? That's what they describe it. But also even there, Tosfos says that even when they go to the Mashu, they add on that it's 3 plus a little more, they still don't get to the exact pi. And Tosfos says they seem to be giving an exact number and they're still not hitting pi. So it's an interesting Tosafot in these two places where Tosfos clearly indicates that the Gemara didn't have the full calculation or the complete calculation to get to the what should have been pi. And that the Gemara doesn't know exactly what pi is. Right, other people would argue that the Gemara is just rounding or coming to the closest, this here, the closest whole number. In other places, they're just trying to get to a number that's close enough. They're not looking for exactitude. But Tosfos clearly says in those two indications that the pi that they're using is not really pi. But over here, for our purposes, they're using 3. Kaimon de le emtziato niglau. Now, the problem is that, right, Tzvi asked before, wait a minute. We just said that a Sefer Torah has 2 amudim. If it has 2 amudim and it's rolling towards the middle, nafish lemi trei na trei. You can have much more than 2 tefachim. Why? Rafcha de beni beni. You can have the space between the 2 rolls. Betrei pushkei hei chayotiv. How could it sit inside the aron in 2 tefachim? According to Rabbi Meir, who says the amount of space left to place the Sefer Torah in was 2 tefachim. Now, true. If you rolled it onto a single amud, right, then you'd end up with 2 tefachim because it'd be Hekef is 6 tefachim, divided by 3, their pi, you get 2 tefach, you can stick it in, no problem. But now when you have 2 amudim, you find, then there's space in between, like our Sefer Torah, you roll it up, there's 2 rolls, you're not going to come up with the same 2 tefachim, it's going to be wider. Right? The Gemara's conclusion is going to be something along your lines. Tosfos does ask a question, and he says, what about the amud itself? The amud itself is internal to the Sefer Torah. If the hekef, the circumference of the Torah, is 6 tefachim, then when the amud, it'll be even wider. So Tosfos says that the 6th tefachim includes the amud. It must be that the amud itself is included in the calculation of the hekef in this calculation. Otherwise, it won't make sense. That has to be the circumference 6th tefachim, including the amud that's wrapped on the inside. So Tzvi, you suggested the answer somewhere along the lines is that Gemara is going to do. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Sefer Azara Letchilato Hu Niglal. That the Sefer Torah of the Azara only has number 1 amud. Right now, how is it wrapped? Now, if I read this to you, Sefer Torah Shazara, Litchilato Hu Niglal, where's the Amud based on this? If you read this, where would the Amud be? Right? Is it at the end of the Sefer or the beginning of the Sefer? Just reading the chat. The end of the Sefer, right? And then you wrap it until you get back to the beginning. Right? It says, Litchilato Hu Niglal. It wraps towards the beginning. Right? If you wrap towards the beginning, you got to start from the end. You have the amud there, and you roll it until you reach the beginning. That is Tosfos' interpretation. Rashi writes explicitly here, it's the other way around. Rashi writes that the amud is in the beginning, and that the tchilato niglau means niglau mi tchilato l'sofo. From the beginning to the end, you wrap it. Now, as you pointed out before, there's a Tosfos on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet, and there Tosfos takes issue with Rashi, this Rashi, on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet, which we read yesterday, which the Girsa in the Gemara is Kedela Gula Amud, right? Usofo Kedela Gula Kef. That's Rashi's Girsa. Rashi's Girsa is that you have two Amudim, or you have two pieces of paper, two blank pieces of cloth along the way. One in the beginning, in order to wrap around the Amud, around the amud that you wrap on, and one at the end to go around the circumference of the Torah. So clear from that Gemara, or the Girsan Gemara, where was the amud? The amud was in the beginning of the Sefer. So the amud is the beginning of the Sefer, that means you're wrapping from beginning to end. Rashi is consistent, based on that Girsan, says over here too. The amud was in the beginning, and they wrap towards the end. The problem is that the language in the Gemara does not support that. The language of the Gemara says, the Sefer Torah of the Azara was the Tchilato Hu Niglau, was wrapped to the beginning. Not Mitchilato, but Litchilato. So Tosa says no. That when it comes to a Sefer Torah is the Amud at the end, and you wrap from end to beginning, like our Gemara suggests over here, and therefore he reverses the Girsa in our Gemara. He reverses the Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Bet, he reverses the Girsa to read that the beginning, Vosib Rosho, Kedei, right, Lehekef, and Besofo, Kedei Lagulamud. At the end, it's for wrapping around the amud, and at the beginning of the sefer, it's around to get around the hekef, around the circumference. So he reverses the girsa in order to deal with the gemara here by the sefer Torah Shorazara, which sounds like it wraps from end to beginning. Now, the easiest of solutions would have been, you just say the sefer Torah Shorazara was different, right, than other sefer. Our sefer Torah rolled from beginning to end. Theirs in the Azara rolled from end to beginning. The problem is that Rashi tries to have them both say the same thing. Rashi over here, by the sefer Torah Shorazara, says it's still wrapping from beginning to end. He says that even though it doesn't sound like that from Lashon HaGemara, Rashi says that they're consistent, and so does Tosfos. They both say that the Sefer Torah Shorazara is consistent with what we have as a Sefer Torah. So you have to do one of two things. Either you have to change the Girsa on Yud Gimel Amud Bet, which is what Tosfos does, or you have to fudge what the Gemara is saying over here, which is what Rashi does. He says that, well, the Tchilato Hu Niglau means Mitchilato Ignal. That means from the beginning it was Nigla. So that would be the Machlokes in Rashi and Tosfot, which way, where the Amud is in a Sefer Torah. And Rashi is in the beginning, and according to Tosfos, the Amud is at the end. Alright. Now we've solved the problem. There aren't two Atzei Chaim, there aren't two Amudim now in the Sefer Torah, because the Sefer Shabbat Zerah only has one Amud. Although,
only one problem with this. Right. And in Navi, when they found the Sefer, it was open to a certain spot.
Yeah, in Devarim. It was open to Devarim. Yoshiyahu, when they found the Sefer, they said it was open to Sefer Devarim, right?
That's, how are you going to explain one Amud?
Okay, so we'll see in a second. All right, the possibility is based on the way it's playing here. And first of all, it doesn't sound like where they found it in the Aron. I don't know where they found this sefer. Right, it was Nignas somewhere that they found the sefer. Yeah, we don't know what they found or exactly what they found there. So that's so clear. All right, but anyway, the Gemara is still going to have an issue with it. How can you fit a sefer Torah whose diameter is 2, right, into a space that is 2? I mean, it's too tight. You can't. You need some space to actually fit it in. Now, truthfully, if you really use pi, right, and you take 6 tvachim of circumference, you actually will end up a little less than 2, and the problem would all have been solved. But because you're using the estimate of 3, you end up with a bigger diameter than you need. So how do they solve the problem? Amar Ravashi, the korach beipurta b'kachay le'el. So what do? They take the Sefer Torah, they wrap it around the Amud. But at the end of the Sefer, for Rashi, or according to Tosfos, the beginning of the Sefer, they didn't roll all the way to the beginning, or they didn't roll all the way to the end. They left over a portion of it that wasn't wrapped around the big roll, and then they rolled that separately. They left it a little by itself, on itself. They just wrapped it separately, and they left that on top. So they laid it on its side, and they left it on top. So that's what you were suggesting before, Tzvi, which is, even though there aren't two Amudim, they simulated almost having two Amudim. So by leaving out some of the wrapping at the end or the beginning, right, they would pull it out and roll it by itself, they left it on top. And that would explain also by Yoshiel why it was maybe rolled to Sefer Devarim, because it could have been that piece that was out was rolled to that point in time. So that will solve the problem. Now you have a smaller area that they can place in. The Torah took up less than 2 tefachim, and now you can fit it inside. Question is, I'm sorry?
Which would fit nicely with Rashi?
Better.
Oh,
to Sefer Devarim. was that the piece that was on the outside, right? For any time better in Yoshiyahu's time, when they found it, right, it would fit better with Rashi's pshat. Right now, question is, Tosfos says, when we said this before, by Rabbi Meir, that they used to take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron. They have to have two tefachim on the ends so they can take it out easily. Tosfos says, I don't understand. They never took out the Sefer Torah and the Azara. What do they need to take it out for? That they need to get their hands in there. Rashi claims over here, on our Amud here, he says, that Bo Karim Bazara Parshat HaMelech V'Hakel Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. Rashi claims that the Sefer Torah Azara was used for Hakel and was used for Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. Tosfos on the previous Amud, on Yudal Amud Aleph, I skipped it when we spoke about it, right, because I wanted to show you Rashi who disagrees. Tosfos says, what do they need to take the Torah out of? Zvim Tomar, Lo Layu Motzim Oto Min Aron. They never took it out. Lo Ashkechan B'Seder Yom HaShem Motziah. We don't find in Yom HaKippurim that they took this Sefer Torah, particularly. V'Yesh Lamar L'Tzurach Kedei L'Takein Shari. How do they go in? Because you're not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how could they ever go in there to take out the Sefer Torah? So he says, oh, in order to fix the Sefer Torah, they were allowed to go in there to take it out. Because they have to make sure that it didn't go bad. They had to roll it. They had to check it. So therefore, they were allowed to take it out. Or, he suggests at the time, after the destruction of the Mishkan, until Shlomo built the base of Mikdash, they were able to take it out of their own, because their own didn't sit in a Kodesh HaKadoshim until that point. So they were able to take it out and in without any problems. But Tosfos clearly doesn't think that they used this Sefer Torah, because Rashi thinks it was used on Yom HaKippurim and in Hakel. I just suggest that it's interesting that with the Sefer Torah, which is something that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, right, was supposedly the time of right, Moshe Rabbeinu, or later on it was the Sefer Torah of Ezra that was placed kept in the Ezra, that Sefer Torah represents something that is like Moshe Mitzinai. And the events, Yom HaKippurim and Hakel are events that are simulating, right, Mamad Har Sinai, or events of Har Sinai. And therefore, when Rashi says, what are the two times they took out the Sefer Torah to read? They took it out to read Bahakel, and they took it out for Yom HaKippurim, the events that right, are simulating Har Sinai. So those are the times that when they read in the Torah in the Mikdash, that they actually took it out to read from that Sefer Torah. All right, just quick, interesting machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, whether they actually use this Sefer Torah or not. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, this is your question, Svi. Rabbi Yehuda, mekame delete arga Sefer Torah hecha hava yotif. So he said, wait a minute. The Sefer Torah was placed on this argaz from the Plishtim. What happened all the time from Moshe Rabbeinu until the Plishtim? Where do they keep the Sefer Torah? Says because what they said, dapav enafik minay. They had a plank or a board that came out of their own. Yotiv aloi Sefer Torah. It was placed there. So till the time of the Plishtim, when they put their argaz there, there was some sort of extension out of their own in which the Sefer Torah sat. Right, Rabbi Meir, Hai mitzad Aron Maya of Delay. Rabbi Meir says the Sefer Torah is inside the Aron. What does he do with the Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu? It says, Lakoach, et Sefer Torah, Zev Samtem Oto mitzad Aron, Brit Hashem. So how could he, what does he do with mitzad Aron, Brit Hashem? So he says, well, that tells you inside the Aron where to place it. Right? Because what? You don't know where the Sefer Torah could go. You have two luchot laying flat, and you have two extra tefachim where you can put the Sefer Torah. There are three possibilities. One is on the side, either side, and one is in the middle. It actually could sit between the two luchot. You could push the luchot to the two sides and sit the Sefer Torah between them. How do I know where to place it? That's mitzad aron. Inside the aron, you put the two luchot to one side, and you put the Sefer Torah to the other side. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. So he says, "How we buy the mitnach le mitzad velo mitnach le bene luche." They place it on the side of the luchot, not between the two luchot. That extra two tefachim. But still, according to Rabbi Meir, it's inside their own, but on the side of the inside. Rabbi Meir amudim hech avakayme. Where were the amudim? According to Rabbi Huda, the amudim were in their own, but where are the amudim for Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir already used up the space for the Sefer Torah. So the truth be, as Tosfos points out, Rabbi Meir still has extra space. He has the whole area, right, along the length. The Sefer Torah took up six tefachim and the two to take it out, but that's all at one end. Right? On top of the luchot, there's a whole space of two tefachim that they could have placed the amudim in. Tosfos says they had some mesorah that it wasn't inside. That's why the Gemara is asking. Mivrai. Kami Mivrai, they kept them outside the Aron. They were outside the Aron, the amudim. Remeir Shivri Luchot Menachim Ben Aron Minhale. How does Rabbi Meir know that the Shivri Luchot were inside of the Aron? Because Rabbi Yehuda uses the Pasuk that says that Rabbi Meir uses to say the Sefer Torah was inside the Aron. He says that's where the Shivri Luchot. So where does Rabbi Meir know that also Shivri Luchot inside? Nafkale Mid Rav Huna. Dev Rav Huna Mai Tichtiv. Why does it say by Shmuel when they're bringing up the Aron to Yerushalayim, where David's bringing up the Aron, Asher Nikra, Shem Hashem Tzvakot, Yoshev Kruvim Alav. So why does it say the word shame twice? Well, Meir Shluchot, Meshiv Luchot, Menachim Baron. says shame, shame twice because it's the shame, and the shame Hashem Tzvakot because twice is Hashem's name. I mean, the work is there, which is one is Luchot and one is Shivrei Luchot that are found inside of the Aron. Right? V'idach, how may by like the Rabbi Yochanan? So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the pasuk of shame, shame? So he says shame chukinunav nochim ba'aron. This is we saw this in the Gemara in Sota that the shame Hashem, all the shame Hashem and all of his other names, not the the tetragrammaton, but other names, are placed inside the aron because when they go out to milchama, that they have the Shekhinah with them, the shame Hashem with them. I don't know exactly what they did. I was written on stones, written on cloth, whatever it was that they had, but they had the shemot Hashem that were written and placed inside the aron. That's why it says shame, shame. Bidach nami bivayle lohachit. Wait, Rabbi Meir needs it for that too. That the shame of Hashem were found in the aron, so he can't use that for shivrei luchot. Enochanami, you're right. El shivrei luchot unochim baron minole. How does Rabbi Meir know that the shivrei luchot are found inside of the aron? Afkalei mi tani Rabbi Yosef. Knows it from Yosef. The tani Rabbi Yosef asher shibarta b'samtam. Right, so over there it says that you broke, take the luchot that you broke. Now the real reading of the pasuk is that you should be psalucha shnei luchot arayim, make new luchot, and you should place them b'samtam ba'aron, and you'll place the new luchot you made in the aron. That the Gemara is reading though, it says take, you should make two new luchot asher because of the ones that you broke asher shibarta b'samtam. So the Gemara is reading the samtam not on the new luchot, but rather on the asher shibarta, the ones that you broke. So samtam is place the broken ones in. That the samtam is not only referencing the new luchot, but also the old luchot, or the broken luchot. B'idach, what are you going to do? What is Rabbi Yehuda to do with the pasuk of Asher Shibarta samtam? I will invite the Reish Lakish, right? The famous limit of Reish Lakish, Namar Reish Lakish, Asher Shibarta. When Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu that you broke, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Yasher Kochacha Shibarta. You did a good thing. You did the right thing by breaking the luchot. Because, right, that even though Moshe did it out of his own volition, own decision, afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim al yado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed that Moshe made the right decision there to break the luchot. Right now, the Gemara is going to get into who authored different Sifrei Tanakh. Tanu Rabbanan. Sidran Shel Nevi'im. What is the order of the Nevi'im? So the order of the Nevi'im is Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yishayahu, V'Shtei Masar. Those are the 8 books of Navi. Michtei, Gemara says, Hoshea Kodim. Right, Hoshea, which is the first of the Treyasar, came before many of the other Nevi'im. So why is he placed at the beginning or at the end with the Treyasar? Because Hoshea is Lichtiv Tchilat Dvar Hashem BeHoshea. That these are the first, the beginning of, right, Tchilat Diber Hashem BeHoshea. This is the beginning of Hashem speaking to Hoshea. Chim Hoshea Diber Tchilat V'lo Mimoshe V'ad Hoshea Kama Nevi'im Ayu. He's not the first person that Hashem spoke with. But rather, Amar Yochanan Hoshea Tchilat Arba'a Nevi'im Shnabu Ba'oto Perek. He was the first of 4 Nevi'im that all gave Nevu'ah in the exact same period. V'Elohein, who are these 4 Nevi'im? Hoshea, Vishayahu, Amos, U'micha. All of the Nevi'im spoke at the same time, which is that they spoke in the time of 4 kings that were together, which was at the time of Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu. Those 4 kings of Yehuda, they speak. So what is clear here is that Hoshea, right, should have come before Yishayahu. He should have come before parts of Malachim. Why is he placed all the way at the end with the Treyasar? So the Kad made Hoshea Bereisha, let Hoshea be earlier on. Where it says, Kevin Dechtin Vitea Gabi Chagai Zechariah Malachi, since Chagai Zechariah Malachi were the ones who wrote his Nevuah, the Chagai Zechariah Malachi Sof Nevi'im Avu, and they are all at the end, then Choshev Lei Behadayu, he played them all together in the Treyasar. Since Hoshea was authored, which we're going to see later on, by Chagai Zechariah and the Malachi, therefore he was already placed together with the rest of those Nevi'im, the Treyasar. Where it says, Lichtei Luchudei, so just separate, write it out separately, the Kadmei, and put it off, or put it earlier in the Tanakh. It says, I did the Zutar, since it's small, Mirkas, it'll get ruined. Meaning that since it's by itself, it's too small a Sefer, if you just wrote Hoshea, then it would get ruined. So they wanted to put it together with other large, to make it to a large Sefer. And since Chagas Chayim Malachi wrote it, then they put it together with their Sfarim, with the Treyasar. It says, all right, Michte, Yishayahu kodim Yirmiyahu. Yishayahu preceded Yirmiyahu, because we know Yishayahu was in these 4 Nevi'im that spoke at the time of, right, Achaz, Yotam, Chizkiyahu, and Uzio. So if that's already way before the Churban, Yirmiyahu was at the time of the Churban. So how could it be, right, that Yishayahu precedes that Yirmiyahu precedes Yishayahu? Vichete Yishayahu kodim Yirmiyahu. Yechezkel and Yechezkel. I'm sorry, because Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel both Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel both had nevuah at the time of the Churban, and Yishayahu was nevuah at the time of Yotam, Uzziahu, and Chizkiyahu, and Achaz at those times, which is way before the Churban. So Yishayahu should come before Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu. So Gemara says, "Akami Yishayahu Bereishu, put him first." Came into Malachim Sofei Churbanah. Since the end of Malachim talks about the destruction of the Mikdash and destruction of Eretz Yisrael and the Gola, therefore Yirmiyahu Kulo Churbanah. Yirmiyahu only talks about Churban. So therefore, it's an appropriate continuation out of Malachim. Yechezkel, Reisha Churbana, Besefer Nechemta. Yechezkel, the beginning of Yechezkel talks about the destruction of the Mikdash, and the later half talks about the rebuilding of the Mikdash and the Nevuah Le'atid. Therefore, it's a transition from Churban to Nechemta. Yishayahu Kula Nechemta, and Yishayahu is all about the Nechama, and therefore it goes at the end. So Samchina and Churbana, the Churbana, Nechemta, Nechemta. So they order them topically rather than chronologically. So since the end of Malachim, which is definitely a chronological order until that point in time, the Nevi'im Rishonim all deal with right chronological order. So once they reach the end of Malachim, they switch to a topical view. And the topical view would be leaving Churban, so that's all Yirmiyahu. Then Churban transition to Nechema is Yechezkel, and Nechema is Yishayahu. Right now, Sidran Shel Ktuvim. This is the order of the Ktuvim. Root, Sefer Tfilim, Teilim, Iyov, Mishlei, Kohelet, Shira Shirim, V'Kinot, Kinot Secha, Daniel, V'Megilat Esther, Ezra, V'Divrei Hayamim. So this is the order of the Ktuvim. Well, the man damar Iyov b'mei Moshe haya. I'm sorry.
It's perfectly chronological.
Right, or it should be perfectly chronological. The man damar. Right, l'man damar Iyov b'mei Moshe haya. The one who says Iyov was written in the time of Moshe, the kadmin Iyov b'reisha. Iyov should come way earlier. So why is it at the end? Why is it in the middle? Or is this, you know, what's it doing there? Where it says it's chulei b'paranta lo matchalinan. Iyov is about paraniot, it's about bad stuff, and therefore we don't want to be, right, we don't want to put it in the beginning of Ketuvim. Root nami paraniot too. The root that we started off is also not a great story. So Mazer is paraniot to eat le'acharit. It's paraniot that ends up with a good ending. It has a nice ending. So Tosus asks, well, Iyov also ends nicely, or ends in a better topic. He says that's different. Root ends with a good ending that's for all of Klal Yisrael, which is the, you know, Chalatzav David, right? David comes out of there, and Mukhat Malchus Yisrael, whereas Iyov is just a personal redemption at the end. It doesn't have any, you know, nechama for all of Klal Yisrael. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Amin Akash Marut, why she got Rut? She yatsi mena David. Because she came out of her, David, Shirivuhu, or Rivau, which is either he satiated or serenaded, like Kodesh Baruch Hu Bishirot Petishbachot. Umi Kadvan, who wrote these items? Moshe, who wrote all of these Sifrei Tanakh? Moshe Katav Sifro, Upashat Bil'am, V'Iyov. Moshe wrote the Sefer Torah, Parshat Bilam, which this line in the Gemara is very difficult and very controversial about how to explain it. He also wrote Parshat Bilam, which is not related, as Rashi says over here. It's not Sorche Moshe, the Torah Tov, Seder Masav. It has nothing to do with Limud Torah, Halachot. And that's just a story about an outside event that took place with Klal Yisrael. Nevertheless, Moshe wrote it. Alright, the many Rishonim and Achronim and the Reb Chaim who dealt with why this is separated out. Right, I'll leave that aside right now, just so you know that it's not an easy thing that the Gemara says. This is V'Iyov, that was authored by Moshe. Yoshua Katav Sifro, Ushmonas Pesukim Shebetorah. Yoshua wrote his Sefer Yoshua, plus the last eight Pesukim in the Torah. Shmuel Katav Sifro, Shmuel wrote his Sefer, Vishoftim, and Shoftim as well, Virut, which was at the time of Shvota Shoftim, so Shmuel wrote that. David Katav Sefer Tehillim, Aidei Asaraz Kenim. David authored Tehillim with the ten Zakenim, Aidei Adam Rishon. Aidei Malki Tzedek, Aidei Abraham, Aidei Moshe, Aidei Himan, Aidei Dutun, Aidei Asaf, Aidei Shlosha B'nei Korach, because these are people who are mentioned in Tehillim, right? You have the Tefillah of Moshe, right? Tefillah of Asaf, right? And you have the Metzeach B'nei Korach. So these are items. So David wrote that or used, you know, he gathered together theirs plus his own additions and he put them together in Sefer Tefillim. Yirmiyahu Katav Sifro, Yirmiyahu wrote his Sefer plus Sefer Melachim, all of Sefer Melachim, V'kinot, which is Eicha. Chizkiyahu v'siyato katvo Yishayahu Mishlei Shira Shirim v'Kohelet. So Chizkiyahu, the king, and in his grouping, because Chizkiyahu was makpid to bring back Torah to Israel. Therefore, even though he died before some of the stuff was written, he was credited with bringing it back. They wrote Yishayahu, according to Rashi, they wrote Yishayahu, Yishayahu was killed. And Nevi'im only wrote their sefer near their death, and since Yishayahu met a fast end or a sudden end, he was not the author of his own sefer. Chizkiyahu was the one who wrote it. Anshe Knesset Agdola, Katvu Yechezkel, Shnei Masar, Daniel, Umigilat Esther, So they wrote all of these items. Why did they write Yechezkel? Rashi suggests that they wrote Yechezkel because Yechezkel ended up his nevuah in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it was lo nitan lichtov. He couldn't write his, they couldn't write it in Chutz La'aretz, therefore it had to be written by Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Sorry, that's what Tosfos doesn't like in Rashi's explanation, right, that it was written in Chutz La'aretz because of that, because he says Yirmiyahu also ended up in Chutz La'aretz, and he wrote his own sefer. Sir Ezra Katav Sifro, Ezra wrote his own sefer, means Ezra Nechemia, and Biyaches Shol Divrei Yomim Abo, and the Yichus in Divrei Yomim until it reached him, I mean until his name actually came up, until he reached himself in there.
A couple quick points here. Rashi points out, as we discussed before, that the reason Yechezkel did not write his own sefer is because he ended up in Chutz La'aretz. Rashi says that the same is true by Daniel. Why didn't Daniel write down his own nevuah? Because he was also found in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it was written by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and the same with Megillat Esther and the Trei Asar, because their nevuah to him were so short, they didn't. The Nevi'im themselves didn't write them down. They're very katsar, they're very short, and therefore each individual Navi did not write a sefer. But then Chagai Zechariah Malachi saw that the Ruach HaKodesh was leaving Klal Yisrael at that point in time, because they were the Nevi'im Achronim and part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the beginning of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And so at that point, they decided to write down all the Nevuot HaKtanot, all these Nevuot that related to the Trei Asar, in order to bring them together and canonize them into a single unit. And that's why the Trei Asar was written by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdola consisted of Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Zerubbabel, Mordechai, Vechevrehem, and so on, but included Nevi'im. Which brings me to the next point, which is interesting, that each of these items was written by, as we know, it was written by a Navi. If you see along the way, each individual sefer or item was written by either a king of Israel with Ruach HaKodesh or by a Navi. But the only one that is not was with Chizkiyahu. So until this point in time, we saw that it was written by individuals. When it comes to Chizkiyahu v'Siyato, that didn't necessarily include a Navi. When they wrote it, it had to be done as a klal or as a whole. So without the Ruach HaKodesh, without the Navi writing it down, then they needed Chizkiyahu v'Siyato. You needed a more than one person or more than or a grouping of individuals in order to canonize such a book rather than the single say-so of a Navi, somewhat similar to what happens in the end by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Even though there they included Nevi'im, they required a consensus because it looks like they were writing things not only about themselves or that they had authored or in their time period, but they were going back and writing about or writing down the vote that were given at a much earlier time. The last thing is the order of the Ketuvim that Tosfos points out over here. He wants to know why didn't they write Eov right after Ruth? Meaning that you have, if the problem was starting with Eov, which is the earliest, it should have been in the beginning. So we say we're not going to start with it because we don't want to start with Puranota. So they moved Eov not to be the first, but Ruth. But then the Seder of the Ketuvim should be first, then Ruth, and then right afterwards it should be Eov. But that's not what happens. We have Ruth, then Tehillim, then Eov. So Tosfos wants to know, why is that the case? So it says the reason that Tehillim comes right after Ruth is because Tehillim is authored by David, and David is the offspring or the outcome of Sefer Rut. So right after that, after they talk about Rut and the outcome, which is going to be David HaMelech, then they bring down in the Ketuvim that which David HaMelech authored, which is Sefer Tehillim. And now, based on that, the Re says, or wants to know, why, according to the one who says that Eov was Ma'olei Agola, there's someone returned from the Gola, why is Eov found all the way in the beginning? Fine, now we explained it according to one who says Eov is Moshe, but what happens if Eov was authored much later period? What's it doing all the way in the beginning? So the Reed says that because it's included with Tehillim and Mishlei, because they have a similar type of style, because Tehillim and Mishlei are of one type of concept, which is that they're Me'ein Shira, they're like a sing-song or a song type, U'mikra'ot Ktzarim and short psukim, V'nigun Echad, and all has one type of sing-song or sound, to me and my nigun. So therefore, they put all of the Tehillim and Eov and Mishlei all together. The Rambeinu Tam suggests, no, that the reason that Eov is placed right after Tehillim is because they're authored in a similar manner. Just like David HaMelech wrote Tehillim Mishum Ayadei Asaraz Kenim, so too, Eov was written Ayadei Dalad Zkenim, and the four Zkenim that are mentioned in the Sefer Eov, and because of Bildad, Eliphaz, Elihu, and so far, so therefore, it's a similar style of writing, of where an individual's writing in the name of others or with the or on the basis of what others have said, and therefore it's included right after Sefer Tehillim. So based on that, Tosfos is explaining, either Re or the Rambam of time are trying to explain why, number one, Eov does not come immediately after Rut, if you believe it's written by Moshe, and according to those that think was authored much later, what's it doing all the way in the beginning? And again, why is it included in the the series of Tehillim, Iyov, Mishlei. So those two answers, either because it's a similar style of writing in terms of the short psukim and the nigun and the sing song and the tamim that are used there, or according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's because it's a similar style in terms of the way it's narrated, meaning that it's an individual writing b'shem, either Asara Zekinim by the Tevet of Tehillim or the Arba Zekinim with the Iyov. Okay, we'll stop here.